Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. My name is Amanda, and I'm an early childhood educator in Ontario, and this is a podcast where I talk about all things kindergarten. I pick a topic for the week, and I share my thoughts, my ideas, and my learning around that topic. For this week's episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about something that I guess it is more regional, but I think that the concepts of it can be applied more broadly. I know that snowpant season is upon us, especially I know in Quebec has gotten a lot of snow. Where I am in Ontario, I guess northern Ontario would be different. I'm in more southern Ontario. We don't have much snow right now. We had some, like a dusting of snow earlier this week, and now it's all melted and it's supposed to be like pretty decent weather for December for the next few days. So I don't know if students will still be wearing snow pants, but I thought I would share my wisdom. I'm putting air quotes. Of course you guys can't see that, but my wisdom around getting students, you know, ready in the winter months when we have multiple layers and, you know, this is getting almost 30 kids, sometimes 30 plus kids ready to go outside can be a challenge. And so I thought I would just share some tips and tricks that I've developed over the years. So let's just hop right into this week's episode of the Creative Kindergarten Podcast. So first off, when we're talking about, you know, winter season and getting kids ready, we want to ensure that, you know, we're maintaining our growth mindset even when it comes to students developing the self-help skills that they need in order to be successful in getting themselves ready. So most students, in my experience, in their first year of kindergarten will not be able to completely independently get their stuff on, you know, by themselves. Some of them are still three. Some of them have just turned four. These little peanuts have maybe only had three winter seasons. If you don't, and I would not count the first winter season. There's no way they're getting themselves ready to go outside and ready in the winter when they're babies. Even when they're their first like winter season where they'd be walking, they're only one. So, you know, they haven't had much or any experience in getting themselves ready to go outside for winter. So we have to really have that kind of mindset of, this is one of the skills that as educators in kindergarten, we are going to need to teach our students. You know what? Ideally, in the perfect world, students would have practiced this skill with their families before the first snowfall. They would have some concept of being able to get themselves ready. But we know that that's not necessarily the case. And so we need to have that growth mindset that this is one of the skills that we are going to work on with students and that we will help them accomplish. And, you know, in subsequent years, they will be better equipped to be able to get themselves ready for winter weather outside. This is where my first piece of advice comes in, where I maintain an open line of communication with families. I try to do this before the first snowfall so that families have an idea of what to expect. I definitely talk to them about having multiple sets of gloves. Let's set up our kids for success. There's nothing like trying to get super sopping wet gloves onto a poor kid's hands. And I also send pictures of what the gloves that we are looking for look like. We don't want, you know, the finger mittens, the ones you can get at the dollar store that get soaked within 3 seconds and the kids are freezing. We really want a good pair of high quality mitts that are waterproof. And when we did our it's not called Welcome to Kindergarten, but our event where we welcome new families into the kindergarten program in the spring, I put up in our slideshow that we showed families, I put up pictures of what a full winter set looks like for families. And I even mentioned that, you know, now's the time of year where some of this stuff is on clearance. You want to go pick up a few pairs of gloves for next year. We're going to need like two or three pairs at least in order to make it through the day, because we go outside morning recess, we go outside at lunch, and sometimes we go outside in the afternoon. It depends on our timing. And so if kids are coming to school playing outside before they even come into the school, and then they have one soaked pair of mitts, then we go outside for morning recess, that's a second pair of soaked mitts, and then at lunch that's a third pair of soaked mitts. So they might not have a clean or dry pair of mittens to wear home if they're already soaking through all three pairs of mitts. So I warn parents ahead of time. We talk about it at our Welcome to Kindergarten event or our Beginning of Kindergarten event in the spring. And then again, we revisit it before our first snowfall. We used Remind for a few years. I know there's like Seesaw, there's all those messaging apps. Or if you send home a monthly calendar, I know it might be past your first snowfall, but if you want to put it as a reminder in your monthly newsletter or in a message, I send picture examples of what the mitts need to look like and just remind parents, you know, send in a couple of extra pairs. We're getting some wet mitts, also socks. That's the other thing. I always try to get families to send in an extra pair of socks as well. We also need to remind families that the mitts need to be, everything needs to be labeled. I tell families, like, just writing on a tag with a Sharpie is good enough. Like, I don't need fancy Mabel's labels or anything like that. Just making sure that everything is labeled. Because guess what? The 16 pairs of black mitts, I'm not going to know which ones belong to who. And certainly the kids are not going to know which mitts belong to who. So giving that reminder to families so we're not constantly searching for whose mitts belong to who is going to be really important. So yeah, that open line of communication with families, communicating with them what their student needs to be successful, and, you know, making sure that you communicate with your families. Just tell them. I know in our community, our school community, a lot of families that are there, this might be their first winter in Canada. And a lot of the time, the first snowfall comes and they don't even know we're going to be going to play outside in the snow. I forget about this every year until it happens. So I always mean to send a note to families before saying, like, yeah, we still go outside when it snows, because they send their kids to school with like just their regular jackets and, you know, regular hat and mitts. And they don't realize that even when it is snowing, we still go play outside. And so having, like, knowing your school community and having those conversations is going to be really important to prepare them so that, again, they know that, you know, what is appropriate outerwear for the winter months? Like, what does warm clothing look like so that they can be adequately prepared for when that happens? A lot of the times they are shocked that we are playing outside in the snow and they are not prepared for it. So, again, another part of having that welcoming kindergarten event in the spring and talking about those kinds of things for those families that just might not know what is going to be happening in the winter months, and so that they have an idea of what they can start purchasing, because it does get expensive. I also have that understanding that asking parents to buy two or three pairs of high quality waterproof mitts, like, that gets expensive. So preparing them in advance to pick those up along the way so that you don't have to purchase the three mitts at once, that they can maybe look for some that are on clearance in the spring or over the summer months when they start seeing them appear again in the stores, they can grab a pair, but so that they're prepared and they know that that's something that they're going to have to provide for their child is really important. So again, my first piece of advice, preparing families, having that open line of communication with them and sending reminders as well throughout the winter months, because, you know, things get busy and they might forget to add an extra pair of socks into their child's backpack, or they might forget to, check their kid's backpack for wet mitts at the end of the day. So just keeping those reminders going, because, you know, we do it 30 times a day with our students, but if they're busy and they're, you know, working multiple jobs, have multiple children coming home, they're doing all kinds of activities, they might just, some things might slip through the cracks. So having that understanding and open line of communication is really important. The next thing is for you to be prepared when you see the snowfall happening, when you know that you're getting 30 kids needing to be getting ready for snow pants and snow suits and you're feeling rushed and you're feeling frustrated. I want you to take a moment and look at how you are timing things and how you can improve your schedule so that you don't feel so rushed and not out of sorts, but like kind of go, go, go at the end of the day or before recess. Can you shorten your end of the day closing circle? Can you, you know, end centers a little bit earlier so that you give students like that extra 10 or 15 minutes that they're going to need in order to get ready? And, you know, that might shorten as they get better at putting on their snowsuits, but typically, I just find our school days are just shorter in the winter months because we do need to give them that extra time that they need in order to get ready to go outside. And so what that ends up looking like and how we set ourselves up for success is that in the mornings, we typically make sure that we are extending our recess time outside. And that way, you know, when we're getting them ready, we're not just getting them ready for 10 or 15 minutes outside. We're getting them ready for a good chunk of playtime outside. So we've played it with our schedule that way. And then afternoon recess is only supposed to be 10 minutes. And so what we've decided is we don't go outside for afternoon recess, because that's just to get kids ready to go outside for 10 minutes. It's just too much. And then it's close to the end of the school day anyway, so we'd be getting them ready again to go home. So what you can do is if you want to go outside in the afternoon, you can tack your afternoon recess on to the end of the day. So you go and play outside closer to the end of the day. You just go outside a little bit earlier and then you stay outside when parents come to pick up, and then the kids are already ready to go out, which I think it has been very successful in a lot of times that we've done it. Maybe you just have we usually have our gym period in the afternoon, so the kids get to go play in the gym instead and get out their energy that way. You can do some kind of brain break inside so that you're not getting all 30 students ready to go outside in the afternoon again. It is very difficult, but playing with your schedule can be helpful. You know, shortening times to give students more time to get ready to go outside, but also playing around with recess times and things like that so that you're not getting students ready to go outside just for 10-15 minutes, because that's discouraging when you finally get them all ready to go outside and they're just coming right back in. So that's one of my other pieces of advice for you, is play around with your schedules and figure that out as well. Another one that has also been successful is when I have students, there's always that group of students, and you get to know them really quickly when snowsuit season starts, is there's that group of students that, you know, take extra long to get ready. Like, no matter how good they are and independent they are at getting ready, they just take forever. Some of them need extra support and some of them just are slow pokes. And so what I do is, we're lucky. We have, not lucky, we are in Ontario, we have two educators that are in the classroom. So there's an ECE and an OCT, or Ontario, not Ontario Teachers College. There is an ECE and an OCT in each classroom. And so when we have the two adults in the room, this makes it a lot easier. But what I do is, if I have that group of five or six students that need that extra time to get ready, if my teaching partner is teaching a lesson, let's say before lunch, she's doing our shared reading poem, and I usually just call that group of students over to start getting ready 5 or 10 minutes earlier than the rest of the students. And what I do is I take all of their gear. So if it's a student that does need extra support in getting ready, this is especially helpful. I take all of their gear and I bring them out of the cubby area and into a classroom, like a space in the classroom, so that I can keep my eyes on them the whole time and I can either coach them through getting them ready or, you know, provide some support in helping them get ready, whether it be like placing their coat on the floor so that they can flip it over their head, or help them put boots on, whatever it might be, so that we're not in the cubby area with all 30 kids and we're tripping on each other and it's getting hot and stinky. I don't need that. I take their things and I pull them out of the cubby area and we make a pile of their stuff somewhere in the classroom so I can start helping them. And I usually group them kind of close together so that I can help that group of students get ready. And that way I can also sit on a chair, because that's one of the big things, is my back always starts to hurt right around snowsuit season because of like helping kids put on snowsuits, boots, zipping up zippers. My back really starts to hurt, and then I've like hurt my back to the point that I've been on medication from doing that. So just being able to pull up a chair and be at their level so I'm not hurting myself is also great. I've also done it where if there's not space in the classroom to like for all the kids to have their own space to get ready, I can also utilize the hallway space. So I've put kids in the hallway to get ready. I just tell them to grab their things, or I grab their things. Sometimes I even just start throwing things into a corner, or I start like throwing them like, oh, here's your glove. And I like throw it at them, and kind of, they find it funny. And, you just spread them out, use the extra space. They don't all have to be in the cubby area getting ready. And pull some, like, it's literally pulling small groups to get ready before the big class all gets ready all together. And I know that some people are thinking, oh, they're missing the learning that is happening at that time, whole group. But my argument is that the learning that needs to happen for those students at that time is the learning around getting themselves ready to go outside. They need those problem solving skills. They need those self-help skills in order to be successful. And so that's my small group for that moment is going to be getting them ready to go outside and coaching them through that and building their capacity in that way. Sometimes that lasts for the whole winter season where there's just students that need that extra support from day one to day, I don't even know, it feels like 350 of winter, but sometimes it's a couple weeks and the kid's able to get ready on their own and they don't need to be called early to get ready to go out play outside. So really just being responsive to the needs of your students and to your classroom is the key for that. Also, if you just have a kid that is struggling to get ready on their own, talk to their families. Make sure the families aren't just getting them ready to go every time. And it's not just like mom or dad or whoever is getting them ready and putting all their stuff on for them. Make sure you're communicating with your families that right now we are working with such and such so that they're able to independently get ready to come outside and play. Say like, you know, we're really working this week on them being able to put on their snow pants on their own. And just ask them, like, is that something that you can work on with them at home as well? So that, you know, I wouldn't overwhelm them and be like, oh, they need to be completely get ready on their own, you know, from day one. But tell families, like, hey, if you could work on getting them to put on their snow pants on by themselves this week, that'd be great. Maybe next week it's getting their coat on by themselves. And so really having those conversations with families can also be helpful because I know families are sometimes rushed and they're just throwing everything on their child and they're not letting their child practice those skills. And so we really want to ensure that we are communicating with families, just like we would communicate with families that we're working on letter sounds and we're working on writing our names and we're working on patterning skills. This week we're working on putting on our snow pants by ourselves. So that's another strategy to use as well. The other part is a lot of the time students won't even try to put their snow gear on by themselves. And this kind of goes for anything. I'm saying snow gear, but this could be they won't even try to write their name. They won't even try to open their lunch container, whatever it might be. And so sometimes they just automatically go to help me. Can you do this for me? My rule in the classroom has always been you try and then I will help. It's never I just will do it for you. It's always you try first, then I will help you. And this works especially for zippers. I find a lot of the time the kids will just walk up to you and expect you to do up their zipper. And zippers are difficult, don't get me wrong, but I still want the student to try first to do up their zipper. And then all of a sudden, magically, a couple months into doing up zippers by them, trying to do zippers up by themselves, magically, it just works. And they are always shocked when they're able to do up their zipper on their own. And so when it's time to do up their zipper, they'll come up to me and I'll say, have you tried? Show me how you tried and then I can help you. And usually it's just, you know, the coordination of being able to pull down on one side of the jacket while zipping up on the other side. If they're able to, I do hand over hand to show them how to do it. They understand that kind of movement. Sometimes I talk them through it. Sometimes I start the zipper and then they just have to zip the rest of it up, just depending on the kid. You kind of get to know your kids. But getting them to try first, building that growth mindset of, you know, this is something that you can start working on and you will be able to do it is really important. And that has helped tremendously. Even I can't put my boot on. Well, have you tried first? Try first and then I will help you. And I never say you try first and I'll do it for you. No, I'm going to help you do it because this is you. You're getting yourself ready. Again, this is where the chair comes in clutch. I bring a chair over closer to the cubby area and I tell the kids to make a line for me. And so when they need their zipper done up, I can see them trying. And then if they're waiting in line, I also say, like, while you're waiting, make sure you're still trying to do up your zipper. Because every once in a while, just magically, kids just start being able to do up their zippers on their own. And it's great. So the you try, then I'll help method really helps. And then one last thing I wanted to mention, I think this is the last thing I say that often, and then I think of three other things to say, but the last thing I wanted to mention was something that I saw posted by somebody in their stories on Instagram, and I really wish I could remember who posted this because I would love to give them credit. So this isn't my idea. This is something I saw on Instagram, and they said that they had buddies, like you have older grade buddies that come to do activities with your students in the classroom. You like pair up with like a grade 6 or 7 or 8 class and they come to do activities. She says she always schedules her buddies for the last periods of the day. So then you have the buddies helping the students get ready to go outside. And then now all of a sudden you have a bunch of kids that are now able to do up all the zippers and help kids get ready to go outside. And I was like, oh, that is genius. And this way you would give yourself a break once a week. Maybe if you can't schedule your buddies for the end of the day, maybe you schedule it before recess or before lunch. And then that way they are there to help you. You know, it's just one time, but that one time of getting a break from getting your 30 students ready to go outside is magical. So thinking about pairing up your buddies at a time when they can teach students how to gear is also really helpful. So that's my thoughts around winter snowsuit season. I know it's a difficult season and one that we have to get used to, and always kind of comes not as a shock but as like a surprise to us, and we remember all over again how difficult it is to be a kindergarten educator at this time of the year. But just think of all of the skills that you are teaching your students when you're helping them get ready to go outside. You're teaching them the fine motor skills, the gross motor skills, the physical literacy, the coordination. You're teaching them to persevere, and you're teaching, there's just so many things that you can teach them through that. You know, oftentimes we think about when we're writing our, in Ontario at least, our communications of learning, and we're thinking about, you know, the activities that we've done at tables or at centers or a whole group or small groups. Think of all the documentation that you can do while you're watching them get ready to go outside. What are the next steps that they need in order to be successful? That fits into our Ontario kindergarten program so well. I'm talking from the Ontario kindergarten lens, of course, at this point, but if it depends on the curriculum that you are following in your province, your state, wherever you are. But for me, I can see so much learning and so many next steps that we can take just by watching kids get ready to go outside, or when they're coming back inside. Are they able to take care of their personal belongings? Is there one child that is constantly losing their mitts? What kind of strategies can we come up with that child to make them more successful? And that's going to translate to them being able to keep track of their stuff in the older grades, you know, when they have to go get their things in a locker, or, you know, find things in their desk or whatever it might be where they need to keep track of that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of skills that goes into it. I know I'm, as somebody who's on mat leave right now and not having to do 30, get 30 kids ready to go outside, it's easy for me to say, but I do try to keep that mindset every year when winter rolls around and we're starting to do it. What skills are we teaching our students? What goals do we have for them? Oh, I thought of something else. See, I told you I had my last strategy and I said, oh, this is the last one, but I'll think of something else. I definitely have something else. Use visuals. Make sure you are using visuals to help kids know the order that they need to put things on to go outside. I love taking pictures of students getting ready to make it more impactful for them. So I'll take a picture of a kid with their snow pants on. Then they'll put on their boots and I'll take a picture of them with their boots on. Then their coat, then their scarf, then their hat, then their mitts. And then I print out those pictures. And you can do a procedure writing whole group activity with them, where you have to go through the steps and you write out an anchor chart with the pictures to show students what they need to do to get ready to go outside. And then you can display it near the cubby area so that students can reference it whenever they need to know how to get ready. And I oftentimes point right over to it and I say, look at what you need to do next. Go look at our chart. If you have a particular student that needs one-on-one support in order to get ready, having visuals of like cards for them at their cubby specifically of them getting ready to go outside. Like, think of the board maker cards that you could make. But I usually typically take pictures of my students and I put it in sequence for them. You can put on Velcro so they take them off each time they do it. You could put it on a ring that you can flip through it as they're getting ready if they need more one-on-one support as well. But using visuals is so important and such a huge thing for students, especially at this time. And that way you're not repeating yourself 1,000 times. Like, you put your boots on, you need to put your snow pants on first. Go look at our chart. But yeah, using visuals is definitely one of the things. The other thing, see, I told you I was going to think of a few more strategies before the end of this. Sorry. The other thing I love to do, I do a countdown with my students. You know, you have those slow pokes that take forever to do anything. They seem to lose track of what they're working on. I will do a countdown. So I'll say, oh, I wonder, will everybody be able to have their snow pants on by the time I count to 10 or count down from 10? And then I'll start counting, and then all of a sudden they start going fast because they want to make it to 10. And I'll say, oh, you made it. You got your snow pants on. Okay, well, there's no way you'll be able to get your snow boots on before I get to 10. And then they're going to want to beat you to it. So you start kind of getting them to focus because you're counting, and then they're focusing on the task that they have on hand. That works for a lot of my students as well. Or if you're getting yourself ready to go outside, I say, well, I think I can get ready faster than you to go outside. And then they take that as a challenge, and then they start trying to get ready faster than you. And that is also another strategy that has worked with me in the past for those little slow pokes that are, you know, needing a little bit more help focusing on the task. Like, a lot of times they're able to get ready on their own. They just have trouble focusing because, you know, it takes so long to get ready, and they start getting distracted by their friends, or they're chatting away or doing something not that they're not supposed to be doing, but that's just taking away from their task at hand. So counting down or having them race you to get ready is another way that I've gotten students to get ready faster. I think that was my last strategy. But yeah, have your growth mindset. Look for the learning that is happening in your classroom. Use visuals. Use a countdown. Give yourself some extra time. Give them extra time. Do it in small groups. Use extra spaces in the classroom. Have open communication with families. These are all strategies that will help you make it through those winter months. And just know that it'll pass. Kids will be able to get ready on their own eventually, and you'll be doing a lot less. It just takes that extra effort at the beginning in order to be successful. So good luck to all my fellow kindergarten educators at this time of the year when we are preparing to be on winter break. And I hope that, you know, your students are able to get their snow pants on and their boots on and their coats on their own. And the only thing that you need to do is help them with their zippers. So yeah, I hope you have a great day, and make sure you are subscribed to the Creative Kindergarten podcast so that you know whenever I put out new episodes, which is usually every Tuesday. And yeah, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you have a great day. Bye.